2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning about verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And that's where we'll stop reading right there. So back up in verse 9, we read the words that the Lord told Paul. He said, my grace is sufficient. And so if the Lord will help me for a few minutes, that's the thought that I'd like to leave with you. There's not a one of us that's not been in trouble. It's not been through a storm. It's not faced a trial. The Lord never promised us when he saved us that everything was going to be great. We're still in the flesh. We're still surrounded by sin on every hand. We're in a dark, dark world, and the only light that's in it is the church. Is that not what the Bible says? It says, ye are the light of the world.
Amen.
And there have been times, I don't know, you may have been in the same boat. There have been times that I felt completely overwhelmed. Just did not know which way to go. Didn't know what to do. We know what to do. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. We might say, well, what is grace? It's one of the most important things you'll ever have in life. Without it, you'll bust hell wide open.
Right. What do you mean?
The Bible says, by grace through faith are you saved, and that not of works, as to any man should boast, it is the gift of God.
Amen.
What is grace? Grace is the favor, the undeserved favor of God. We didn't do a thing to deserve God's grace. Not one single thing. Preacher, I've been a good person. I've been a church member all my life. I never miss a service. I tithe. We've not done a thing. We're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible said, for while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. The unmerited, undeserved favor and love of God. That's what grace is. And whenever we face a problem, it looks like it. There's no way we can get out of. God has grace for me and for you. I read in the Bible where, and this man, Paul, probably talked about grace more than any other writer in the Bible. But he wasn't the only one that talked about it. I read in the Bible where there was a time when men's minds were only on evil continually. You say, they shouldn't have been that way. As it was in the days of Noah. Where are we today? Men don't think any thought of God. Men don't think anything of being in God's will or being in God's favor or being in His house or doing anything for God. It's me and mine and what pleases my flesh in this moment, and that's all we're concerned about in 2024.
Amen.
Now, you shouldn't have said that, preacher. As it was in the days of Noah.
Yeah.
Men's minds were only on evil continually, violence on every hand, and it repented God that He made man.
Amen.
And He decided He was just going to destroy it all. Just wipe it out. He had sent a flood, a rain. It had never rained. See, people don't believe in God anymore. They don't think any thought that God is going to destroy this place one day.
That's right.
It had never rained in Noah's days. There was a mist came up from the ground and watered the plants and the flowers and the trees. And they had never felt a drop of rain hit the top of their head. So, this idea that there was going to be a rain was a foreign concept. How could something like that be until it rained? And the rain came and the flood came and destroyed all flesh. Everybody that had ever breathed a breath, every heart that had ever beat, all the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, the beasts of the land, all destroyed. Except for one man and his family, and the only reason they survived,
amen,
was Noah found grace.
Amen.
He couldn't have made it any other way without God's grace.
Amen.
You know why Noah found God's grace? Everything that God told him to do, he did.
Amen.
So you got to live for God if you want His grace.
Amen.
All flesh destroyed, everything destroyed, and Noah made it. Because he obeyed God and did what God told him to do.
Right.
He built an ark and men laughed at him and made fun of him, no doubt. They said he's crazy. He's off his rocker. It's never rained a drop around here. We don't have a thing to worry about. And that's what men are saying today. But one day it will rain. It won't rain H2O. It'll rain fire and brimstone.
Amen.
And this, the very elements of this earth are going to burn with a fervent heat. And men don't believe that today. It's not registered in their brain that that's what's going to happen. But it's a known fact from the King James Version Bible.
Amen.
All right.
Come on now.
Noah made it by grace. I don't read where Noah ever built a boat before, did you? I don't read where he was a sailor or where he was had a nautical mind or anything like that. But God told him to build an ark, and he built it, and it floated.
Yeah.
And it was able to survive an earth-destroying flood because Noah built it the way God told him to build it.
Amen.
It floated by grace.
Yeah. Amen.
All right.
Amen.
My grace is sufficient.
Yeah.
We read where, and you pray for a few minutes. I'd really like to get where the Lord can help me to say something to help you. We read where the children of Israel, Moses went. You know Moses' story. You know about the 10 plagues that God placed on Egypt and how in the midnight hour the death angel passed over. And in the land of Goshen, where the blood had been applied, all was peace. But in the rest of Egypt, the firstborn of every man and beast died
in the midnight hour when the death angel passed over and Pharaoh's own son died and his heart was broken, his country lay in ruin, the economy was destroyed, all the beasts were destroyed, the river ran in blood, there was no water to drink, the beasts that were there had famine and had the lice and the murrain, and things were miserable until Pharaoh got to the point where he said, "Let them go." And we read where that the children of Israel left Egypt, headed toward the promised land. And not long after they left, Pharaoh said, "What have I done?" God hardened his heart, and he took 600 of his best soldiers, 600 chariots and 600 horses, and charged after the children of Israel to bring them back to Egypt so that they could serve them again. And Israel looked up, and there was the Red Sea on one side and Pharaoh and his army on the other, and nowhere to go. And they said, "Moses, we'd been better off if you'd just left us in Egypt. If you'd left us alone to serve, you brought us out here to die. Surely we'll be destroyed." But they didn't count on one thing. Pharaoh didn't count on one thing. God's grace. Amen. You see, God's grace was able to overcome Pharaoh and his army. God's grace was able to overcome the doubts of the children of Israel. God's grace was able to bring victory to his children in their time of need. When you're up against the wall, don't depend on your own hands. Don't depend on your own intellect. Pray and depend on God's sufficient grace.
Amen. Amen. Blessings.
Now you pray a little harder for me.
The Lord told, "We're going to die. There they are. They're right there. We're pinned in against the Red Sea. Moses, we're going to die." And Moses said, "Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord."
Amen. Amen.
Bless him, Lord.
Bless him, Lord.
The Lord told Moses.
Well, I've got to get it. Bless him, Lord.
The Lord told Moses, "Stretch out your rod over the water." And you smote the water. And Moses did what the Lord told him to do. We've got two men coming on March the 24th to start a revival. And until then, I'm going to do my best to do the same. And if these whole preachers preach, I hope they do their best to do the same. Stretch out your rod.
Amen.
And smoke the water. You know what we need? We need a good old stirring of the water around Dutch bottoms. I'm not talking about that stuff that's out there in the parking lot. I'm talking about the well that's inside of you. We don't need a bunch of stagnant stuff. We need the living water to be stirred, and the rod being stretched out over it is enough to stir that water up.
Amen. Come on now.
I didn't think about going there, but there you go.
Bless him, Lord.
Stretch your rod out, Moses. And he smote the water. And the Lord, I believe it said, the Lord caused over the course of the night an east wind to blow. And it parted the waters of the Red Sea. Now listen, I've seen times when water evaporated, a body of water. Even whenever the TVA lets down right across the road here, TVA, in the fall of the year, they'll draw the water out. And what was a big body of water becomes a much smaller one. And you watch that clay, that sand down there, it don't just dry out overnight. It takes days. As a matter of fact, as you get closer down there to the edge of the water, that sandy soil might still be damp. Even now, months after that, the water has been drawn back. God's grace dried it up with one night.
Amen.
How dry was it? I believe when the sun rose and Pharaoh looked down over there where the children of Israel were, and he saw the water parted, and he saw them in the middle of the Red Sea, walking through the middle of it. The dust was so bad, amen, he couldn't even see the people.
Amen.
Let me tell you how dry it was. Pharaoh said to their mind, I'm going to go get them. If they can do it. See, that was Pharaoh's problem all along. Moses threw the rod down, it became a serpent. He brought his magicians in and did the same. There's only one God.
Amen.
There's only one Spirit.
Amen.
Friend, God is not mocked.
Amen.
Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Amen.
If he soweth of the flesh, he shall reap destruction. He showeth of the Spirit, he shall reap life everlasting.
Amen.
Mike, you didn't quote that right. Well, you go read it. And if I didn't, you'll know exactly what it says. And then I can go read it and I can fix it next time. All right. God's sufficient grace. The children of Israel crossed the Reds right through the middle of the Red Sea on dry ground. It was so dusty that all Pharaoh could see the dust as they traveled right through the middle of it. And so here came Pharaoh and his 600 chariots beaming down on them, burning down on them, about to reach and get them. Close, close, close. And the sand in the middle of the Red Sea was so dry that the wheels of their chariot drove up in it, sucked down in it, where they were stuck. They wouldn't turn, and there they were in a wall of water on this side, a wall of water on the other side, and they couldn't do a thing. They were at the mercy of the God of Israel.
Amen.
And when it looked like all hope was gone for the children of Israel, God's grace destroyed Pharaoh and his 600 chariots and horses and soldiers. And guess, now listen, it wasn't perfect. The children of Israel wasn't perfect. They made mistakes that cost them dearly. As a matter of fact, there's a whole generation that didn't make it. But you know where the children of Israel wound up? Through the grace of God, they made it to the promised land.
Amen.
All right, God's sufficient grace. We read about a fellow named Hezekiah. The Assyrians had come in, had taken about all the other cities of Israel, taken the best and the brightest that Israel had. And down there in Samaria, there was Hezekiah. As a matter of fact, he even sacrificed the gold that was on the temple to give to the king of Assyria to appease him. And let me tell you something. It don't matter what we offer, it's never going to be enough.
Amen.
And if the world has its way, if Satan has his way, he'll take the best and the brightest, the best we got. If Satan has his way, he'll take the best and the brightest, the best that we've got. And the king of Assyria sent a man down there. I believe his name was Sennacherib. And he spoke in the Jewish language. And he said, why would you trust in the God of Hezekiah He said every nation that we've rolled through, their God wasn't able to save them. What makes you think your God will? And there they were surrounded, nothing in, nothing out of Samaria, and it was a hard time, and looked like they might starve to death. And he said, just come on out to us. We'll give you corn. We'll give you wine. Why, you'll have everything you need. The world's still saying that today. Satan's trying every way he can to draw every child of God away from the church and away from God. And I'm here to tell you today, there's only one way that we can make it through this life, and that's by the sufficient grace of the Lord.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Bless him, Lord.
Amen. He even went so far as to send a letter to Hezekiah. Hezekiah took the letter, went down to the temple, and took the prophet Isaiah, and they spread it out there. And the Lord spoke to Isaiah. He said, fear not. He said, this year, you're going to eat what's growing. And the next year, you'll do the same. And the third year, you'll be able to plant. And this fella that's come down to threaten and stand against the children of God, he's going to go back to his own country, and he's going to die by the sword. And you know what happened to him? He went back to his own country, and his own sons stabbed him. He bled to death. And you know what happened to the Assyrian soldiers that had the city surrounded? God breathed. And 180,000 Syrian soldiers, when the sun rose the next morning, was dead corpses. I'm here to tell you, nothing is stronger than God's grace.
Amen. Amen.
There's a reason they sing Amazing Grace. All right. Trying my best to hurry right along. One of those best and brightest that was taken from Jerusalem was brought down there and was found in God's grace. And even the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, made him the second in the kingdom under him. He was a stranger in a strange land. You may be like him. You may find yourself surrounded by people that don't know God. You may find yourself surrounded by people that don't think a thing about using God's name in vain or any other dirty word. You may be surrounded by people that think that the sinful life that they're living is theirs, and you have no right to say anything to them, that your God can't stand in judgment of them. But I'm here to tell you today, just because they're living in sin does not mean that God doesn't love them. Just because they're living a God-awful life does not mean that God has grace for them. I'm telling you today, he loves everybody if they'll call on him.
Amen.
All right. This fellow's name was Daniel. In a dark, dark place, in a dark, dark time, far, far away from his home church, you might say, Daniel lived the same life in Babylon that he lived on the altar at the house of God. We should too.
Amen.
Amen.
He was offered a portion of the king's meat and the king's wine, and he refused it, didn't he? He said, just give me pulse and water. Pulse is a root vegetable, very plain, very bland, but that's what Daniel grew up on. He was just going to take the plain old stuff. In this modern age of electronics and lights and people wanting to put on a show and things like that, we need the plain old stuff.
Amen.
We need the gospel.
Amen.
I like the little song, don't you?
Good.
We used to sing it whenever I was a little bitty boy. The B-I-B-L-E.
Yeah.
And it still
Amen.
Is. Even today. I believe you started out with it.
Yes.
You're in your 80s. Is it still the book for you?
Yes.
How about that?
Amen.
It's still the book for you.
Amen.
Even if you've not picked it up in ages, you can write your name on the dust on the cover. It's still the book for you.
Amen.
Daniel said, I'll take the plain old stuff. You know what else Daniel did? He opened the windows toward Jerusalem. And he prayed 3 times a day. I would that I was like Daniel. Don't you? I don't think Daniel got down and said, God is great, God is good. I don't think Daniel got down like I often do and go through my form and fashion, and then I get up and I know that I had a bit more talk to the Lord than nothing. Have you been there?
Amen.
I often do that. But there have been a few times, as a matter of fact, there was one Monday morning at about 3 o'clock this week.
Bless him.
And I talked to the Lord. And I said, Lord, forgive me. And he heard me. And he spoke back to me. See, Daniel didn't go through a form and a fashion. Daniel didn't just have a habit. Daniel prayed. He talked to the Lord. And the Lord talked back to him 3 times a day. And it didn't matter whether the trash man was outside or whether King Nebuchadnezzar was at his door. He prayed anyway.
Amen.
And they knew. I'm trying my best to hurry. They had watched Daniel's life. You see, somebody's watching you. How do you know, preacher? No man liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. They knew they couldn't catch Daniel in a lie. They knew they couldn't catch Daniel cheating his neighbor. They knew that they couldn't catch Daniel in adultery or any other sordid sin. All that boy does is pray. So the only way we're going to catch him breaking laws if we make one up specifically for him. So they did. And when Daniel prayed like he always did, and I believe Daniel knew that the law had been passed, there'll be a day when we won't be able to go in public and make a prayer.
Amen.
There'll be a day whenever somebody from the state or from the federal or somebody local will say, these are the things, preacher, that you can't mention. There'll be a day that somebody will want to monitor how we worship, what we say, and what we do. But let me tell you something. God's grace will protect us.
Amen.
God's grace will watch over us. Daniel knew the law had been passed and he prayed anyway. And you know the story. The penalty was to cast him into the den of lions. And there they were roaring as they marched him down there to the den. There they were. And he could hear them. And the men that marched him down there could hear them as they marched him down there to the den. There they were, the big mane and the fur and the sharp teeth. And it's over for that little old fella. He'll never survive something like that. Oh, Daniel, you're done for. But what they didn't count on was God's amazing, sufficient, wonderful grace.
Amen.
See, Nebuchadnezzar liked Daniel. He spent the night. All night. He never got any sleep. He went down early the next morning and he said, oh, Daniel, is the God that you serve, was he able to deliver you? And he heard a voice. And it wasn't a feeble voice. It didn't sound like a man that was about to die. He said, "O King, live forever." You know what God's grace has done, Nebuchadnezzar? It's shut the lion's mouth.
Amen.
Now, I don't know, the Bible don't say, but those very lions that were roaring and gnarling their teeth at Daniel, I could see Daniel, the stone rolled up against the opening of the den and sealed, and nobody had heard of him, the lions. I can see God's grace working, and Daniel just laying right down beside the lion and laying his head down on their mane and having a peaceful night's rest. That's what the grace of God can do.
Amen. Amen.
My grace is sufficient for thee. Let me give me just a few more minutes. I'll be done. You see, God didn't move the Red Sea, but His grace made a way for the children of Israel to go through it. God didn't give Hezekiah and the children of Israel weapons to fight, but His grace made a way where they could have victory. God didn't speak and the lions all fall over dead. His grace just shut their mouth where Daniel couldn't live on another day. You see, we all need grace. There was once a time within my heart I was condemned to die. You know that song, don't you? I was a scared little boy, 8 year old, and I was lost. And I knew if I died, I would go to hell. See, I was raised in church, and I had heard the preacher preach, and I had heard the Sunday school teacher teach about how you must be born again, about how there is a hell, and without Jesus, that's where you go. And I was afraid of that place. We didn't have any money. We were poor. My daddy didn't have a big name. We didn't have fancy cars. We didn't have a big nice home. I had absolutely nothing to offer the Lord. There was no reason He should have had any mercy on a sinner like me. I'm going to go a little farther. You see, God knows what I was then. He knew when I was 8 what I would be when I was 58.
That's right.
He knew how many times I'd disappoint Him.
That's right.
He knew how many times I'd let Him down.
Yeah.
He knew how many times I'd see it and come short. And He had grace.
Amen.
For me anyway.
Yeah.
Amen.
Oh, what a Savior. That He would forgive the likes of me. I was on my way to hell. Nothing to offer. And the Spirit spoke to me. Said, "Why don't you?" I was in the bed. Said, "Why don't you just go in there and shake your daddy on the shoulder and ask him to pray with you that you'd like to be saved?" The best move I ever made. We weren't supposed to get out of the bed. When bedtime come at our house, You were supposed to go to bed and go to sleep, and if you were up playing or running around, you got trouble. But on that night, my dad didn't fuss at me. He didn't scold me. He said, "Where do you want to pray?"
Amen. Amen.
I got down on my little half bed. He got on one side. Bob got on the other. They prayed. But that didn't get the job done. I had to pray. I had to ask Jesus to save me. You see, the Bible says this: let every man work out his own salvation with fear and much trembling. And I told you he knew. I didn't know, but he knew, Johnny. He knew. I'd sing. He'd give me a little talent to play a piano a little bit. He knew I'd try to use that for him. He knew that I'd be a preacher one day. I didn't. As a matter of fact, I said, "That'll not be me." But he did. Little lost boy, no hope, nothing that I could do, condemned and on my way to hell. And like Noah, and like the children of Israel, and like Hezekiah, and like Daniel, God had grace for a sinner like me. He loved me. He sent his son to die on Calvary so that a sinner like me could find grace.
Amen.
And you know what I found? I was 8. In about 4 months, that will be 50 years. I've made mistakes. I have. I've sinned and come short. I've been far, far away from God.
Yeah.
But you know what I found? I found that His grace was sufficient.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm still saved. I've worried about a lot of things. That's one thing I'm never worried about. Because it's sealed. Even as ignorant as I am, I can't mess it up. I can't mess it up. And what God does, He does right.
Amen.
Let me give you a little doctrine, and then surely I'll hush. You know this verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have, what's the next word?
Everlasting life.
You see, I'm not one of those characters that believes that I can do enough to lose it. What God does, He does so well, even I can't mess it up. It's sealed until the day of redemption. You ladies know what I'm talking about. When you can vegetables and green beans and tomatoes and whatever, you put it in that pressure cooker and it gets really hot. And when it gets just, and then whenever you set it out and it cools, it gets to a certain temperature, and then you'll hear that pop. And that's the seal. And it's sealed. And you know what you do with it? I don't know what Mom used to do with it. We had a closet in the house. And it'd have 25 jars, quart jars of green beans. And you know what they'd do? They'd sit right there on that shelf until the day she needed one. And then she'd get the lid. We'd turn it, break the seal, and we'd eat those. You know where my salvation is? It's sealed.
Amen.
Until God loosens the seal
and I go to glory.
Amen.
You know how I'm going to make it?
By grace.
Amen.
There is no other way.
Amen.
You can't make it any other way.
Right.
You can't do enough good deeds to get there. You can't give enough money to get there. You can't feed enough homeless people to get there. That's all wonderful things. Mm-hmm. You know what that is? That's works that are brought about by grace.
Mm-hmm.
That's works that are brought about as a result of you experiencing grace.
Amen.
It's through the mercy and the love of God. That's what grace is. I don't care what you're going through. God's got grace to help you through it today.
Amen.
God never took the thorn away from Paul. He never did. Paul lived with it all his life. But you know what every day brought for Paul? New grace. Grace to get him through. The Bible says this, God is no respecter of person. If he had grace for Paul, he's got it for Mike. He's got it for Marty. He's got it for Clara. He's got it for Becky. He's got it for all his children. We just got to learn to depend on it. God's sufficient grace.